following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want you to open your Bible to Genesis, if you would. I knew that this would be basically an introduction to where we are now in our study on the essentials. We are at pneumatology, and the question is, what about the Holy Spirit, part one of, I don't know how many. It's going to take a little while. I believe this is where so much of the whole scope of theology gets so personal, and we'll see that tonight, the time allowing, where Jesus, remember this. Jesus said, I am going to send you a what? A helper. And he said, he will remain with you. And when we talk about, you know, our encounter with God, we talk about our personal relationship with the mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't leave any of them out. But he said, I'm going to send you a helper. How many of you need help? Turn to somebody and say, you need more help than you know. We all of us need help. So we are still on, obviously, the study of God. Theology is the study of God, the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. We know the Father's name, at least the one part of the revelation of the name of God is Yahweh or Jehovah. It's from a couple of different languages, but Yahweh. And we know the name of the Son. We call him Jesus. Jews call him Yeshua. I've said this many times. We don't have a name for the Holy Spirit. Not a proper name, I guess you would say. I guess you could call him the Helper, but that's more of a title and an indication of what the Holy Spirit is sent to do, among other things. We won't get anywhere near the bottom of all of that tonight. But we're still talking about that one mysterious, all-inclusive term for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What is it? Trinity, which you won't find that word anywhere in the Bible. You will find the truth about the Trinity in the Bible. And we're not going to get even deep into that tonight. We're going to talk more next week about the deity of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just barely touch on that tonight. But just a simple word, Trinity, get this. It's a very simple word that describes the indescribable. It takes you as far as we can go in terms of defining this mysterious, awesome truth about God who has revealed himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about the tri-unity of God. I showed this to you when we began our study in theology, and especially theology proper, as they say, the study of the Father. Look at the word God in the middle. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. But the Spirit is not the Son, and the Spirit is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Spirit, the Son, and so on. But they're all God. Is anybody's mind a little bit twisted already? Anybody a little confused? You know why? Because you're dealing with someone who's bigger than you. And as we've said so many times, and it's been probably said in maybe more memorable ways, but if you have a God that you can completely define, you've created an idol. Because the God that we serve will always be beyond our total comprehension. There will be things we can know and things we can understand, things that will comfort us, things that will challenge us as we understand certain aspects of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But if someone tells you they've got God figured out, they don't have the right God. I don't care how big the whiteboard is. There's no whiteboard that's big enough for the equation to totally sketch out God for you. Anybody happy to leave God off of the whiteboard? Because he's beyond the whiteboard. He's awesome. He's massive. He's beyond anything that we could ever describe. So where I want to start tonight is just beyond the beginning. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 1 and get ready to turn. Oh, what's the name of that last book in the Bible? Get ready to turn to Revelation. In fact, why don't we just read from Genesis to Revelation tonight and and so Father, bless us as we open up your word to discover the truth of the Holy Spirit. And we welcome that work of your Spirit. Father, we know, we believe, we're convinced that anything that we understand about you, about the Son, about the Spirit, is because of the help of the Spirit. So we welcome that work tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and then get ready to flip quickly to the back of your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and read with me, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The first member of the Trinity to be identified individually in Scripture is the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to explain how God created in those 6 days everything that you and I see. Now, we're just going to leave it right there. We're going to go to the back of your Bible. And Genesis chapter 22, the very last chapter of the very last book of the Bible. And I want to start, actually, it says up there, verse 17. But I want to start at verse 16. Jesus, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, that's messenger, to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. We talked about that last week. And here's what he says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride say, come. There he is at the beginning, and there he is at the end. The Spirit opens, and the Spirit closes the Scripture. He's there all the way through. Now, there's a few places as we move through our study on the Holy Spirit. And those of you that miss it, all of this will be up online, usually a day or so after. But as we move through the study, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as a person. We'll go into that in more detail next week. All the things that are true about you as a person, well, in kind, the Holy Spirit can, and I don't want to get into it because then I'll go too far and I'll go too long tonight. But just like you're a spirit, I'm not saying you're God. But you have the ability to communicate. You have the ability to have feelings. You have the ability to be offended, and so does the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit's mission, and that's exciting. We're going to barely touch on that tonight. We're going to talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit wrote a book, and we will look up a few verses on that tonight. Anybody have an idea which book he might have written? It's the one that you're holding. It's a collection of books. All 66 books, which I've told you before, there's actually 71 books in your Bible because of the multiple books that are in the book of Psalms. But that's just a bet, so you can win a bet with somebody every now and then when you want to just trick them. But the Holy Spirit wrote a book, and it's a powerful book, and it's the only book, I believe, that the Holy Spirit inspired in that way. You know, when you pick up this book, you are reading God's word to you. Everybody clear on that? And we went over, I think, one or two studies where we talked about bibliology and the beauty of the book that we have. And then we're going to talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. So that's kind of the lay of the land where we're going to be going. And here's the other thing, too, as we move on through that. The Holy Spirit is the least understood member of the Trinity. Really is the least understood member of the Trinity. We talked about this a few weeks ago. All of these attempts or metaphors to try to give us a grip, you know, a handle or two on, well, what is God really like? Or what is the Trinity really like? How many of you have heard this one? The Holy Spirit's, or God is like an egg. You got the shell and you got the yolk and you got the white. Everybody say God's really not like an egg. Come on. He's a little bit bigger than an egg. We talked about this one maybe. The Holy Spirit's like water in three different forms. The vapor, the water, and the ice. Now, does anybody really think that total, does that give you a real handle on what God is like? I mean, there's you know, some truth in that. It's still the same, you know, properties. It's just in different forms because of different temperatures. I love this one. The God is like a watermelon. The rind, the seed, and the yum in the middle, right? But, you know, no, God is not really like a fruit. I shared this one with you a little while back. The Holy Spirit is really like this threefold cord. Now, I know in the book of Ecclesiastes where it tells us the threefold cord is not quickly broken, it's a different cord. That's like a rope, a threefold cord. But we talked about this about three or four or maybe 5 weeks ago, that a cord is a combination of several notes. Now, you can have a two-note cord, but you can't have a one-note cord. But every major chord and every simple minor chord is three notes, or it's not that chord. Here's a C note. And here's E, and there is G. Now you hit all three of those together, and what do you have? Everybody say C chord. That's a C. Now listen to two C chords together. Here you go. I'm going to let those ring, and you can hear a couple more C chords together. All that is a combination of three very distinct notes. And I think that is probably one of the better illustrations of what the triune nature of God is all about. You don't have God if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have God if you don't have the Son. You don't have God if you don't have the Father. You have the Father, Son, you got the C, the E, and the G. And you don't have a full major chord unless you got those three notes together. Now that helps me a little bit, but still, would you agree with me? God is a little bit greater than a C chord. He's a little bit more massive. He's a little bit more majestic. He's a little bit more wonderful than even my silly illustration there. And you know, when it comes to defining the Holy Spirit, who's the member of the Trinity we want to look at here for a few weeks, when it comes to defining the Holy Spirit, even the creeds, did anybody grow up learning a creed? The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. When you look at the creeds, they don't help a whole lot either in defining what it is that we really believe when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There's more on the Father and there's more on the Spirit. But look at this. Look up on the screen here. Now, the Apostles' Creed, which was somewhere, you know, back in like between 120 and 150 AD, and there's different forms of it. It started out very, very simply. Creeds were these sort of portable statements on what we believe that were very easy, especially for illiterate people, to memorize and carry the truth about what do we believe about God? What do we believe about life? What do we believe about the truth? And I've just picked out the parts of the Apostles' Creed that relate to the Holy Spirit. And in that, you'll see, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then it says later on, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but it says nothing else about what I believe about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Nicene Creed, which was in the 300s, expands that a bit and says this, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. That's a little more insight on how Christ became what He was. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, became man. It goes on. It says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. So we're getting a little bit more definition. What do we mean when we say the Holy Spirit? Not just this disconnected force or power, but just as much God came forth from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He, the Spirit, is worshiped and glorified. And He has spoken through the prophets. So a little bit more, actually a whole lot more than the Apostles' Creed gave us, but still not a whole lot. And certainly not as much as the Scripture teaches us about the Holy Spirit. So I guess we believe in Him, but we don't know much about Him. At least by the time the early church fathers wrote these creeds, there was so much more already that was embedded in Scripture. I just wonder why they didn't go a little bit further in their definition of the Spirit. There's a great little book written by Francis Chan. How many of you know of Francis Chan? He's a great author, was a pastor up in, I think it was in the Simi Valley, for a number of years, and still very much a strong voice in the church today. But he wrote a great little book called Forgotten God. And a lot of it is very similar to my favorite book on the Holy Spirit, which is by A.W. Tozer. And the name of that book, and it's a little bit hard to find because they've changed the name of it, but it's Leaning Into the Wind. And it's, I think the new title is How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. There's another book by Tozer you can pick up, and this is a compilation of some of the articles that he wrote on the Holy Spirit. It's just simply called The Counselor, Straight Talk about the Holy Spirit from a 20th Century Prophet, which is how people identified A.W. Tozer. He didn't call himself a 20th century prophet, but many people really believe that he was. But those books are very helpful. But the Holy Spirit, when we're talking about this powerful member of the Trinity. How could you say the Father and the Son aren't? But with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, I want you to just to look at the two languages that the name Holy Spirit come out of. In the Hebrew, and I want you to pronounce these with me, okay? So you're going to learn two words tonight, and one of them is going to sound like a word that you heard in a cartoon movie. Kodesh, everybody say Kodesh. Not Kadosh, but Kodesh. Was that Kung Fu Panda that word was in? Was it? Never mind. Kodesh Ruach. And do that with your breath at the end. Just do that. Practice that. Now we pray. That's going to sound terrible on the recording, isn't it? Kodesh, Kodesh. Say Kodesh Ruach. And that means whole. That's Holy Spirit. In Greek, it's Hagios Pneuma. Hagios Pneuma. When I started to type Hagios in there, it wanted to type Haggis. And that's very, very different. Haggis is nasty meat from Scotland. But they both those terms mean, it's, when it comes to the Ruach and Pneuma, it can be translated breath or wind or spirit or air. It translated all those different ways and a couple of other ways as well. But when you add holy to it, you're talking about a person. Not just the breath that escapes your lungs. It's not just your mind or your spirit or the air that we push through every day, but the power of God, the Spirit of God that dwells among us. Now, all the information on the Holy Spirit that we're going to concern ourselves with, obviously, like in all of the areas of theology, are going to come straight from the Scriptures. And I know you're fine with that. So let's look at a couple of other places tonight, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there with me, if you would. And I'm not putting these verses up on the screen because I want you to always bring your Bible and turn with me, especially here on Wednesday nights when we got a little more time to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Hey, there's some really great bars that are called 316 bars, by the way. You might be interested in. Check out the table. Back up to verse 14 and listen to Paul talk to Pastor Timothy. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Read with me in verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me stop there. Inspiration means the breath of God. All Scripture is given through that ministry, that agency of the breath of God, the Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, keep reading, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, ladies, you can put in there in the margin, man and woman of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The God-breathed, the Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture that's given by God, breathed by God, is profitable to teach you the truth, to correct you when you get off course, and to bring you back on course, and to set you up to live a life where your life is profitable for the work of God, that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, which we talked about on Sunday, those works that God has prepared for us. Now go to the right in your Bible further and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 19. Again, I should have put one verse earlier there. And so we have, and this is powerful. Oh gosh, I could just keep backing up here where in verse 16, Peter says, we're not making this up. We're not following somebody's fables. He talks about where the Scripture comes from, and he says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men. That's the Scriptures that were given to us. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did you get that book? The Holy Spirit breathed it into existence, spoke it into the heart of an author who faithfully wrote that down. Now we need to back up to John chapter 14. And this is where we're going to get very personal tonight. We're going to take this into our next study as well, next time we're together. This is where it gets so personal, as I said, as we started tonight. Jesus, as he's sitting with his disciples, about to leave them, and they're not too happy about that, he says to them in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. See, he's been helping them all along. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm going to send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, I got to read verse 18. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And a little bit later, he's going to say, the Father's going to come to you. So he's saying, make room, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all going to take up residence in your little tiny house. Your tabernacle of your body. He's going to live right there in you. Skip over to verse 25. He continues to speak about the Spirit. He says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. Read verse 26 with me, please. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Would you look down there at that page? Look down at your page. What do you see on your page? I see a bunch of red letters. And where I don't see red letters, I see black letters that tell the story between the red letters. Here's what Jesus was saying right there to his disciples, his apostles, especially his apostles right there. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you in everything I've called you to do. But then he specifically says to his disciples that had walked with him, I am going to bring, through the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and bring to your remembrance all that we've walked through together. So what? So that you can record Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can record the story. He's going to bring to your remembrance the details of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The details of the conversation this night in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 that we call the Upper Room Discourse. Fancy name for table talk with Jesus. He's going to bring to your remembrance some of your absolute favorite scriptures right there. You know, in that table talk are things like this. Not going to leave you. Not going to forsake you. In that table talk is Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Around that table, thank God John remembered that the Holy Spirit found in John, that he had better brain cells than the rest of them. They say he was a younger man too, by the way, when he was walking with Jesus in those early years. But he's the one that remembers Jesus saying, oh, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come and take you with me to that place that I prepared. John is the one that remembers him saying, yes, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Aren't you glad that God, the Holy Spirit, sparked John's memory? So what do you have? You have God-breathed words on the pages of the book that you hold in your hand. God gave this to you and I so we could know that when we open up this book, the God that breathed it through them wants to breathe it into you too. You can stand on these words knowing that they come straight from the heart of God. The Holy Spirit did that. And by the way, the Holy Spirit has a lot to say to the churches. We won't go there, but in Revelation, again, that last book, what does it start with? The Holy Spirit revealing himself to John. And then in seven letters in succession, every single one of them, there are several things, several phrases that are repeated in these letters to all seven churches of Asia. And here's what I love. At the end of every single statement to every one of those churches, Ephesus, Pergamos, Smyrna, and all of them, he said, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you know what that's an invitation for? To read somebody else's mail. Isn't that great? How many of you, let's have a little confession time. How many of you have ever read somebody else's mail? Almost every piece of mail that I get here in my box in the office, it's been opened already before it gets to me. I just want, if there's any poison in there, I want somebody else to get it first. No, we don't. I don't know why that's done, but every piece of mail is open. Just to see, if it needs to be sorted in one way or another, if it really is personal, if it's just sort of junk mail. But we get to read somebody else's mail. We get to read and hear and learn from both the successes and the mistakes of other people. Oh, man, we could have some real fun just turning and talking to one another, but I'm not going to do that to you at this point. But let me just tell you, if you choose not to learn from other people's mistakes, you'll never live long enough to learn everything you need to learn. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn from their failures. You know, Joy and I would probably both say that we learned from the brokenness of our own family. We learned that it's a beautiful thing to be faithful to our marriage vows to one another and to take the word divorce and shred it, having walked through that as kids. It's hard. Now God was an incredibly faithful and powerful in our lives. Not that whatever level of brokenness you might walk through, that it's irreparable. Of course it's not. But we learn from other people's mistakes. And that's what we're invited to do. In fact, the Holy Spirit says, hey, everybody read the letter that has been breathed from me to Ephesus. All of you read it and return to your first love. Come back to your first love. And learn from this letter. And learn from the Thyatira letter. Learn from the Laodicean letter. And don't be lukewarm. Be hot. Be cold. And the cold there is a good thing as well. And we're not studying Revelation, so I won't go into that tonight. But the Holy Spirit has a lot to say to the churches. You know, we always talk about the fact there's only really one church. And that is true. There's one worldwide church. But the Holy Spirit says churches. There's congregations just like ours. And I want to learn everything that God wants us to learn, don't you? So we get to read other people's mail and learn from their victories and learn from their mistakes and let the Holy Spirit make us what? Holy. I think it's very important to remember that the Holy Spirit is not the hokey spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the goofy spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the weird spirit. It's a Holy Spirit. I've been in circles sometimes where you would think by virtue of the activity that the Holy Spirit, when he gets a hold of you, he's going to make you nuts. He's the crazy spirit. He's not the crazy spirit. He's the Holy Spirit that wants to form the holiness of Christ in me as well as in you. He wants to empower us to leave this place tonight and to touch somebody's life in a powerful, powerful way, a significant way. I want to turn to one last passage. We're still in the Gospel of John, and then we're going to be done. And I want to sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Whenever I sing that, I always think about it in at least two ways. I think about here, and I think about here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. How many want to say that to the Holy Spirit tonight? You're welcome here. Because I have the need for transformation and change. So in John 7, where Jesus is speaking to another group, in verse 37, says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, I'm not going to say it as loud as he probably did. He didn't have a PA system. He was the PA system. He says this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers. The Greek word there means torrents, floods. Torrents of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That means crucified and then risen from the dead. So there's double images. There's more than double images. There's many images for the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about them as we move through this. But the image here isn't wind. The image here is a flood. And it begins. Did you notice how it begins? It just begins with a sip. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Take a good drink. But guess what? It's going to be in you. When you take that in, when you receive the life of God, the Spirit of God. You can't receive the life of God without receiving the Spirit of God. You open your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to give you life. Now, we'll talk about this later, but there's more. There's that other dimension of the Spirit where the Spirit empowers me. And that's a very different thing. I want to let just whet your appetite on that. We'll get back to that. But that life in me will become a torrent of living water. Something that he does want to flow out of me. So if this Jesus says to us, come to me, and drink. And if you're thirsty, come and take a drink. And whoever does take that drink, get ready. Because when you receive Jesus, God's intention is that flow that is going to flow out of you and touch other people. Certainly, it's going to satisfy, you know, your heart. Certainly, you know, your that parched place in your heart, your spirit, and even your mind is going to be refreshed by that new life that you have in Jesus Christ. But it's a powerful thing and a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of a person and when life happens in you. How many of you can remember that your life changed when you said Jesus, yes? When you stopped saying Jesus, no, or you just stopped saying Jesus Christ in the wrong way, and you said, Jesus Christ, come and forgive me, change me. And that was the Spirit of God that gave you life. And you know what you got? That was God in you. In fact, remember how Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I think the Holy Spirit could say the same thing, really. Amen. Because it's not a division of God in that sense. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Spirit, you've seen Jesus. You're getting to know God in all these deep ways, in all these personal ways. And I just want us to close tonight, just lifting up our hearts to the Lord and making this more than just academic. Let's make it right here at the beginning of our study, our look at the Holy Spirit. Let's make it personal. Let's make it intentionally purposeful tonight. Holy Spirit, come. Come in a new way, a fresh way, a powerful way. Some of you need refreshing tonight. Holy Spirit wants to do that. Some of you need freedom tonight. He wants to set you free. Some of you are hungry. He wants to fill that empty place in you. Some of you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And you know you haven't. You know you haven't given him the reins and scooted over and said, take me where you want to take me, Lord. He wants to do that. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you. He wants you. He sent the Spirit to draw you to him. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to say that to you tonight, Lord. You are welcome here, Lord. We want that full three-chord, beautiful presence and power of Father, Son, Holy Spirit alive in us and living through us. So Lord, as we begin to try to define the undefinable and try to understand that which is too magnificent for us to ever completely define, we're ready, Lord. And we ask you to take us to a new place, a deeper place in that flood of your Spirit. Lord, life just isn't what it's meant to be without that power and that presence in us. So we respond to you tonight, Lord. We respond to you tonight. As we begin to sing, if you need to say something to God, if you need to turn from sin and ask him to forgive you that sin, if you need to ask him to give you freedom over something you can't seem to stop or can't seem to let go of, ask him for that tonight. And I mean, if you're okay with it, you could turn to the friend that you came with and say, hey, pray with me over this tonight. I really want to be free. I want to be a different man, a different woman. I want to be a different person. If you're asking God tonight to save you, ask him. Just ask him. All that come to him, he said he would never cast out. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to work in us tonight and begin something, even in these few moments. Let's sing together. Let's lift this to him as a serious prayer. I'm going to ask you to just put your hand upon the shoulder of the person beside you. If you're standing with your husband, your wife, or part of your family, you can take their hand if you like. But let's just pray and ask God to pour out his Spirit upon those that we're standing by. And let's pray that as we sing it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in this life. Let's sing that together as a prayer. Holy Spirit. Father, may something have begun right here tonight, Lord. This isn't the last prayer that we need to pray, Lord. This isn't the last moment where we proclaim our hunger for more of you, where we confess a dissatisfaction with the way things are in us, Lord. We want to be closer to you. We want to be more like you. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here to make us holy, to fill us with power, to define our specific purpose and mission in our lives, Lord, this day, this evening. So, Lord, we want to set our hearts to hunger after you. So we want to make room and make time to just be with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you. Oh, God, make us more. Make us more. Thank you, God, for your great love and your great power and your intimacy. Lord, you touch us in ways no one else can touch us. Have your way, Lord. We just say it. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in us. Have your way. Lead us, Father. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for focusing our hearts tonight on a part of your world, two parts of your world that we really need a downpour of your Spirit. We will continue, Lord, to pray for Haiti. And for Romania and for Hungary and all these other places where there's brokenness, Lord. We'll be a part of that. We will be a part of that. Fill us and lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're yours. Amen. Grace and peace to you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.